Today's shiur is Masechta Nazir Daf Chof Kimmel. We will begin on Daf Chof Kimmel Amud Aleph at the Mishnah on the third line of the Yomid. Says the Mishnah, Isha Shenadra B'Nazir, a woman accepted upon herself Naziris. And she was violating the Naziris by drinking wine and becoming Tamei. Says the Mishnah, the Halach is Harezu Sofegas Esabayim, she gets Malkus. And as we learned previously in the Gemara, this rule that the Mishnah is saying now seems to be obvious. Everyone who violates the Naziris gets Malkus. Why did the Mishnah have to tell us this then? And the Gemara proposed two explanations. One explanation is that the Mishnah is teaching us the Baal Megas Gaius, that even when a husband is made for a nether, he's only made for the nether moving forward, but he does not retroactively uproot the nether, and therefore this woman, even if her husband ultimately is made for the nether, since when she drank the wine was metamala mesim, it was prior to the afara, she gets malchus. Or another pshat that we learned is that really there is no chiddush in the din of the Mishnah here. However, soon we're going to learn the case where she does not get Malkus, certainly not Malkus Midaraisa. So the Mishnah wanted to contrast the two situations. Heifalabala, and therefore in a situation where her husband was made for the nether, however, Vihila Yodashafer, but she was not aware that her husband was made for the nether. Vahoshashashayayi Matamla Mason, and she drank wine, it was Matamla Mason, unaware that her nether had been released. Then she doesn't get Malkus because she actually did not do any Aveira. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, yes, she doesn't get Malkus Midoraisa, but Tisbeg Malkus Mardus, which is always what the Gemara means when it's referring to Malkus Rabbanon, that she does receive because she did something wrong, because as far as she is concerned, she is still on the zero. There's a machlokes rishonim if Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama are disagreeing, or Rabbi Yehuda just say that the kid, or they agree, and the Tanakama says there won't be a Malkus Daraisa. However, Malkus Rabbanon there will be. The Ramban says that there is no machlokes here. The Tosfos and the Miri seem to learn that there's a machlokes. Our Mishnah refers to Malkus Mardus that a woman receives in this situation, even though there is no Malkus Daraisa. What exactly is Malkus Mardus? So there are some Rishonim that say, just like Malkus Daraisa, we know, we will learn in Mitzvah Shem Masechta Malkus, are 39 Malkus, so too Malkus Mardus are the same, just the Chiyuv is only Midrabon. However, there are other Rishonim that say the Malkus Mardus, since it's only Midrabanan, is less, and it's only 13 Malkus. There are other Rishonim that say the Malkus Mardus is Achetetu Nafshay. There is no limit. However, in that opinion that says the Malkus Mardus is limitless, there are certain caveats. One, Tosfos says that in our case, where if a person was a Nazir and violated the Naziris, the Malkus that would get, the Malkus Daraisa, would be 39 Malkus, we certainly cannot treat a Drabonon more stringently than we treat a Daraisa, and therefore not more than 39 Malkus would be given, according to any opinion. Another point that the Mefarshim make is there are two reasons why one would receive Malkus Mardus. One is as a punishment for doing an Aveira, albeit a Drabonon, or sometimes Malkus Mardus are given as a deterrent to prevent the person from doing Aveiras in the future. When the Rishonim say that Malkus Mardus is Achetetzei Nafshoi, that's when the Malkus are being given as a deterrent from preventing an Aveira to be done in the future. So we give as many Malkus as necessary to make sure that the person will not do an Aveira again. However, when Malkus are being given as a punishment, certainly the punishment cannot be more stringent than the deraisa, and only 39 makas are given. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, the pasuk regarding a husband's ability to be mefid in the darim of his wife, says Isha Feirim v'Hashem Yisachla. Says the Gemara, Be'isha Sheif Labala V'Hila Yoda Kos Medaber. The pasuk is referring to a woman whose husband had made for her nether. She wasn't aware of it. She tzricha kapar v'slicha. She requires to have a kapar v'slicha. And as the Rosh and other Rishonim point out, actually, the Torah speaks about three different women whose nedarim could be released. The Torah speaks about a daughter of a ketana. The Torah speaks about an arusa whose nedarim are mufar jointly by the husband and the father. And the Torah speaks about the nesua whose husband is made for her nedarim. So ask the Rosh and the other mefarshim, why is the Gemara that wants to teach us this concept speak specifically about the case, the last case, about a nesua whose husband can be made for her nedarim? So some mefarshim say, because this pasuk is the most obvious that's referring to this situation that the husband was already made for, and that the, even though the husband was already made for, if she drank wine or was matama, unaware of the hafara, she needs a slich of a kapara. Because let's look at the wording of the pasuk. Isha firam. The Torah says that the husband was made for another, and still, Vashem yislach lo, she needs to have a kapara. So that's why the Gemara chose this pasuk. The Rosh takes a different approach. The Rosh says that the closest relationship from the three people whose nedarim could be released is the relationship of a husband and a wife. So therefore the Rosh says what the Gemara is teaching us. Perhaps every wife can assume that her husband certainly was made for her nedarim, because that's the kind of relationship they'll have. A husband doesn't want that his wife should be subject to be in the zira. Still, if she wasn't explicitly aware that her husband was made for nedarim, and she violated the naziris, Hashem yislach lo, she requires a kapara. The Mefarshim also point out that we know, we discussed in the second nedarim, daf chaf gimel, that the halacha is that we say kol nidre yom kippur by night. And the point of saying Kol Nidre is to accomplish that all the Nadarim that we're going to make over the year should be annulled. After we say Kol Nidre, we say the Pasuk of Nisla L'chol Adas B'nai Yisrael Ki L'chol Om B'shkoga. Why do we say that Pasuk? So Mefarshim explain. Our Gemara just taught us that if a person didn't actually do an Aveira, but he thought he did an Aveira, or in his mind it might have been an Aveira, he requires a Kapara. So even, as we discussed the Masech Nedarim, one's Nedarim that he makes the whole year are automatically null and void because of the Hataris Nedarim, and because of the Kol Nidre that we say in the Yom HaNeraim. But when a person makes a Nedar, or when a person violates the Nedar, he doesn't remember that Kol Nidre, he doesn't keep it in mind. That's why he still needs for Nislach L'chol Adas B'nai Yisrael. That's why he needs to have a kapara. Says the Gemara, Ukshay Megir, Rabbi Kiva, it's a pasuk Zal Yabaycha. Rabbi Kiva would learn this pasuk, he would cry. If somebody wanted to eat chazam, pork, but he got kosher meat, ta and kapar v'slicha. If somebody wants to eat chazir, for all biyad v'chazir, he indeed eats pork, alach is kama v'kama. The Arizal says, why specifically was it Rabbi Kiva that cried when learning this? So the Arizal says a fascinating limud. He says, we know Yom Kippur at Musaf, we say the pizmain regarding the Sarei Heruge Malchus, the 10 Tanoim that were killed. And we say they were killed for the Kapara, for the Shvatim having sold Yosef. And the Arizal says that every one of the Tanoim from the Asara Haruge Malchus was a Gilgul of one of the Shvatim. And that Rabbi Kiva was a Gilgul of Shivud, of Shimon, of the Shev, of the son of Yaakov Avinu, Shimon ben Yaakov. Shimon was the most active Shevet involved in the sale of Yosef. Said Rabbi Kiva, until I learned this Gemara, we know that at the end, the sale of Yosef, as Yosef himself said, Atem chashavtem alai l'ra, you thought you were doing something bad, but kim chashvel ha'tayva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant for good, klamichyo shalachani elkim, I came here to Mitzrayim to be able to save my family. So, at the end, they really didn't do an aveira. But said Rabbi Kiva, from here we see that even if a person did not do an aveira, but he intended to do an aveira, he required kapara v'slicha. That's what Rabbi Kiva said. Shimon needed a kapara v'slicha because he was the one that tried to do the aveira of mechiras Yosef. Why specifically basa chazir? So the Ben Yoyada says a number of terutzim. One terutz is because the chazir, as we know, has one siman. He has split hooves. He just doesn't chew his cud. So, says the Ben Yoyada, people do averis and they try to say that it's mutter. Just like the chazir sticks out his foot to show, look, I'm really kosher. Says the Ben Yoyada, the Gemara is teaching us we have to be so careful not to think that the averis we're doing are not averis. Another pshat that he says is that the word chazir means chazoro, to repeat. How does a person come to do averis? If chazir, if he repeats, if he kivisha over adam avera for shanaba, the person repeats the avera, nasa like a heter, he becomes part of his habit. However, the third pshat, says the Ben Yoyada, chazir also means chazoro, tshuva. We know that the Gemara says, the Medrash says, that when Mashiach comes, the chazir will be a kosher animal. So the Gemara is teaching us, even if a person did an aveira, just like the chazir will one day be a kosher, pure animal, so too does the person have the ability to do tshuva. Our Gemara is teaching us that if a person only intended to do an aveira, even though he didn't actually do the aveira, it's considered they did an aveira. So Farshim ask, we know that the Gemara says in Masechta Kedushin, Machshava Ra, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzar Filamaisa. The Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take in consideration bad intentions. Here we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. So one teretz is that although HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take him into considered as if the aveira was done, certainly still a kapara of a slicha required, and that is what our Gemara is teaching us. Another teretz is that the Mefarshim give is that there's a difference if the aveira, if there was just a thought of doing an aveira, or if there's a thought to actually carry out the aveira. In a situation where a person actually intended to carry out his machshava, that machshava ra requires a tshuva. Then the question is this concept that we're learning now in the Gemara, that if a person only intended to do an aveira, but didn't actually carry it out, he requires kapar v'slicha. Is this then only by aveiras, by an adam l'makayim, eating chazir, or other examples we're going to learn, or is it even by an adam l'chaveiroi? The Paiskim discuss a number of examples. What would be an halach if someone intended to murder someone else, but he didn't actually kill him? What is his din? So Farshim bring a raya. Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu fled Egypt to Midian, and then the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to return to Egypt. Kimesu kol anoshim hamavakshim es nafshechem. Dosan Anvirim who wanted to kill you died. We know the Gemara said that they didn't actually die, they just became poor. V'oni choshev kimes. Why did they get a punishment? Because they wanted to kill Moshe Rabbeinu. But they wanted to harm him, but they didn't actually. Their plan actually didn't get carried out. So from here we see, said Mefarshim, even the intention to kill is deserving of a punishment. similar shaila that I saw is what would be the din if someone knows that he does business with a storekeeper, for example, who isn't honest in his weights. So before the customer goes to the store, he's Michael, the storekeeper, saying, I know he's cheating me and I forgive him. But that person still did an Aveira. Is it considered a situation that the person, even though I was Michael him, requires Slicha v'Kapara? Another example, a very interesting Shaila the Paiskim discuss, is what is going to be done in the following situation. I have an employee who I'm concerned isn't honest, and I want to test him. So I leave something on the desk, and I'll see if he'll take it, even though he's not supposed to take it. It's what's known as entrapment. The question is, I'm causing that person to do an Aveira by leaving that object that he may steal. Am I allowed to do that? It's a situation of lifnei evil esita mikshel. I'm not allowed to cause a person to do an Aveira. Or is it not usur? Or is there an option that I should be Michael, and even though I'll see if the person takes something that he's not supposed to take, he will not really have done the Aveira of Geneva because I was Michael before I put it down, that this should not be considered my item. But this person doesn't know it. And as far as he's concerned, he did the Aveira of Geneva, but it's been Adam L'Chaveroi, what is the din? It's a Shaila in the Paiskim. Continues the Gemara. Kiyoyitz B'davar Ata'imer. You find the similar concept, says the Gemara. The Pasuk says, V'lo yodav ha'osham v'nosam v'ayinayim. Says the Gemara, U'ma mi sh'niskav v'lalas b'yodi b'asot t'leh. Somebody intended to eat kosher meat. V'ala b'yodi b'asot chazir. But he ended up with non-kosher meat. What is the situation the Gemara is referring to? Kigoyim. There is one piece of meat which is kosher, and the other piece of meat is, we're not quite sure, this is the way Tosfos explains the Gemara, we're not quite sure is kosher or not kosher. And the person meant to eat the kosher meat, and then he maybe ate the possibly non-kosher meat. He has to bring an Hashem Taloi. Certainly, he meant to eat non-kosher meat. For all the biyad basa chazir, and his intentions were fulfilled. Alachs kam v'kama. Isi ben Yehuda Omer, for la yodar v'oshem v'nosa avoynoi, mish mashin iskav laos biyad basa taleh. Somebody meant to eat kosher meat. For all the biyad basa chazir, but he eats non-kosher meat. Kigoyim, shtei chatiches. There are two pieces of meat. Acha shal chelev, acha shal shumen. Chelev is the non-kosher meat, shumen is the kosher meat. The Torah says, and he eats one of them, on the assumption that he's eating the kosher meat. The Torah says he has to bring an Hashem Talui. Certainly, Hamaskam alalas b'yodei basa chazir. For all of b'yodei basa chazir, alach is kam v'kama. Certainly, he has to have a kapara, and alzeh yidvu advuyim. This is something that person should be upset and be concerned about. So we explain the Gemara as Tosfos explains the Gemara. Rosh explains that the difference between the Tanakama and Isi ben Yehuda is the Tanakama is referring to a situation where there is only one piece of meat, but its status is not known, and Isi ben Yehuda is referring to a situation where there's two pieces of meat, one being kosher and one being non-kosher. Ask the Gemara for Kol Hani Lamali, why do we have to have all of the same concepts, the same concept taught so many times? Answers the Gemara Tzrichin. The Tanagabi Isha, had we had the case of the woman of our Mishnah, who thinks that her Naziris is still active, when it actually isn't, Hosam who debay kapar v'slicha, she requires kapar v'slicha, v'shem de mekara li suri chavin, she intended to do an Aveira. Av chatichet sofik shel chelev, sofik shel shumen. By this piece of meat, that we're not even sure is not kosher. Dilatari chavin. So the person only intended to eat kosher meat. Perhaps, loy boy kapar v'slicha, viet mahada, if we only learn this case, dik yisura. Because in the case where there's possibly non-kosher food there, so there's possibility, a real possibility, that an avera was done. Avil isha dehefla barla datera. A woman whose husband released her from the Naziris. She, at the end of the day, did not do any avera. So perhaps, like to buy kapar v'slicha, she shouldn't require kapar v'slicha. V'id mahani tarti, if we only had these first two cases, ha'am mahani tarti, who the sagilam b'kapar v'slicha. In these two cases, kapar v'slicha are adequate. Toleik v'isura, for there is certainly no definite avera there. Here, the woman's husband was made for the Naziris. Here, we don't even know for sure that there was any non-kosher meat. Avil shtei chatichas, in the case where you have two pieces of meat. Acha shokhel v'acha shuman, where you certainly have a non-kosher piece of meat there. Dik v'isura, you certainly have something non-kosher there. Maybe. Lois sagala b'kapar v'slicha, it shouldn't be enough. Kamash malon, t'lois shna, and in all situations, kapar v'slicha required. The Mefarshim ask, why didn't the Gemara speak about a situation where the person thought he went to the store and bought a product with the assumption that it's a kosher product, and it ended up not being kosher, that the person requires kapar v'slicha? From here the Paiskim say that such a person is considered an oinus. If somebody went to the store and bought a piece, bought food with a reliable hechsher, and then it turns out that the food is actually not kosher, he was a pure oinus, and he doesn't require a kapar v'slicha. Am Rabba b'chana, am Rabbi Yochanan. My diksiv, the pasuk says, ki yishorim da'ki Hashem, v'tzadikim yelchu bom, u'poishim yikoshlu bom. So there's a very interesting bach here. The bach has the Gemara quoting the pasuk, but when the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Hosea, the Bach takes out the word, the letter Vav, from the word Vitzadikim. And the Mefarshim ask that if we look in the Tanakh, the letter Vav is there by the Vitzadikim. So why does the Bach take out the Vav? And actually, because of this question, the Stipler says that there's an error in this Bach. However, I saw from the Brisker Rav a very interesting pshat. The Brisker Rav says, the Gemara says, Tvarim Shebiksav Iyat Rishoa Lomer Balpeh. Torah Shebiksav has to be said strictly by heart. Strictly, Torah Shebiksav has to be strictly said from inside. So whenever, says the Brisker Rav, the Gemara, when the Amoraim in the Gemara, the Tanoim in the Gemara, would quote a Pasuk, they would be careful to take out a Chumash, they would be careful to take out a Tanakh and read it from inside. What the Bach meant, says the Brisker Rav, is that when Rabbi Baba Chana was quoting this Pasuk, there was no Nach available to him. Since there was no Nach available to him, what did he do? He said the Pasuk by heart. But he wanted to say the Pasuk by heart, he didn't want to say verbatim as it's said in the Torah, he made a change. What was the change? Says the Bach, he took out the Vav from Tzadikim. So Gemara says that this pasuk refers to Moshe L'Shnei B'nei Adam Shetzolus Pesheim. Two people are preparing the Karban Pesach. Echad Ochel L'Shem Mitzvah. One ate it to fulfill the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. V'echad Ochel L'Shem Achil Gasa. And one ate it and he was already full. The Karban Pesach has to be eaten L'Tei Oven with appetite. Zesh Ochel L'Shem Mitzvah. The one that ate L'Shem Mitzvah, he's the person Tzadikim Yelchubom. The one that ate L'Shem Achil Gassah is a Poshim Yukashlubom, it's considered as if he stumbled. Amalei Rish Lakish, asked Rish Lakish, Hai Rosh Karisle, a person who ate the Karban Pesach, when he ate in Achil Gassah, is that called a Rosha? Nay, the Loika Ovid Mitzvah Men Amufcha. We can understand that he's not doing the mitzvah preferable way, the way it ought to be done. Pesach b'kavod. However, he did eat the Karban Pesach. Why are we calling him a Rasha? So Mefarshim asks, Tosfos asks, that eating food, an achila gasa, is not considered an achila. So why does Rish Lakish suggest that he's mekayim the mitzvah? So Tosfos answers that achila gasa, there are two types of achila gasa. There is achila gasa where a person is so full that he can't eat at all. That is not considered that one fulfilled the mitzvah. However, if somebody ate an achila gasa, he's full. He's not really hungry, but it's not that he's so full that he's disgusted from eating. That's the achila gasa that our Gemara is referring to. And the Tver Shloim says, why does our Gemara at least attempt to use Pesach as the example for this pasuk? Says the Tver Shloim, when a person sits down to the Seder, the Shechina attends each one of our Sedarim. So a person should be so careful to fulfill all of the mitzvahs of the Sedarim so very carefully. And therefore, the pasuk, the Gemara attempts to explain it regarding Pesach. We just said that Achila Gasa is certainly not considered an Achila. Certainly if the person is completely satiated, the food is repulsive to him. There's a Machlaikis Rishonim. We know that by Macholos Asuris, when eating food that we're not supposed to eat, if we ate it Shloike Derech HaNosoi, we didn't eat it in the normal way of ingesting and enjoying food, it's not considered as if we ate. So the question is Achila Gasa considered Shloike Derech HaNosoi? Is it considered Shloike Derech Achila? It's a Machloikis Rishonim. The Mishnah Melech seems to learn that Achila Gasa is considered Shloike Derech Achila. The Rabbeinu Avram and Ahar disagrees. The Shagas Arya asks that the Rav Shlokish, who's the Manda Amen Al Gemara, is the Manda Amen that says that mitzvah tzrichas kavana, that in order to fulfill a mitzvah, one has to have proper intent. So ask the Shagas Arya and the Tori Evan, this person is eating an achila gasa. Why don't we explain that the person ate it without the intent to be mekayim the mitzvah? And that's the case of poshim yikashlubam. Says the Shagas Aryeh, when there is a mitzvah where it's obvious that what I'm doing is a mitzvah, even if I don't have, even according to the man the Omer, that mitzvah tzrich is kavana, I don't have to have kavana to fulfill the mitzvah. And this eating Pesach, where one has to register himself to be part of the group and eat the Korban Pesach with all of the rules that come with the Korban Pesach, it's obvious that it's being eaten l'shem mitzvah, and therefore it doesn't require specific kavanah. The Meritz Chayitz explains that the Gemara, that any mitzvah that one enjoys, like eating, is considered mitzvah tzrichas kavana, the hanah is considered a kavana, even if there wasn't express intent. Ramea Arik says, according to Shlokish, the Gemara, at least in the Havmina, was focused on the eating. So why does the Gemara speak about shetzolu as pischeim, that they roasted the Korban Pesach? Says Ramea Arik, we know that in Yontif, one is allowed to cook and roast only with tzarech eichel nefesh. Only if he's doing something that he's allowed to be eat. But to cook food that one is not allowed to eat, that's not allowed to be done. Says the Meramei Arik, if one will not fulfill the mitzvah in the way he eats the Korban Pesach, tzolu es pischeim, that he even has a problem with the way that he roasted the Korban Pesach, for he had no right to roast the Korban Pesach if he's not allowed to eat it. The Chesed Avram explains that now we could understand what we say in the first paragraph of the Agodah, in the Holach Ma'anya. We say, Kol Dichvin Yaseh V'Yechel, Kol Ditzrich Yaseh V'Yivsach. Ask the Chesed Avram, isn't this a redundancy, saying the same statement twice? Says the Chesed Avram, what Baal HaGadol means to say is as follows. On one hand, we said that the Korban Pesach has to be eaten ala soiva. The person should have eaten already. He shouldn't be hungry. On the other hand, it can't be, as we just learned, an achila gasa, that he's overly satiated. So we tell the person, kol dichvin, if you're very hungry, yaseh v'yechol, come and eat something so that you should be able to eat the Korban Pesach ala soiva. Kol Ditzrich, But if all you need is ditzrich, you just need a little food, you're ready full, you're ready ala soiva, that's the time that yetze for yifsuch, that you should eat the Karban Pesach. That's the status one should be in eating the Karban Pesach. So the Gemara goes back to explain, what does the pasuk mean? The pasuk of tzaddikim yelchuba v'shoam posh mekashlebam elo moshel shneim le'odom se ishtavach choyse imoy. This person had his wife and his sister in his home. And this person had his wife and his sister in his home. This person, it was dark at night, he didn't see, ended up having relations with his wife. And this person had relations with his sister, an incestuous relationship. He's in the category of tzaddikim yelchubam. Is in the category of Poshim Mikoshlubo. So Mepharshim asks, this person did not intend to do an Aveira. So why are we calling him Poshim? So Mepharshim explained, nobody would come to do such a terrible Aveira, that such a terrible Aveira would come to him, unless he is a person who is predisposed to doing Aveira. He must be a Poshaya if he comes to do such a horrible Aveira. Ask the Gemara, me dummy, how can we say that this is the case that this pasuk is referring to? And not coming in Chad HaDerech, we're speaking about one road, which could be either good or bad. Hachashnei Drachim. But in this case, there are two roads. There are two different acts. One did incest, and one had a perfectly acceptable relationship. Says the Gemara, the pasuk is referring is to the situation Mashal Loit Ushnei Bnayis of Imai, the story of Loit and his two daughters. We know when HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the city of Sodom, Loit's daughters thought that the entire world was destroyed, and they wanted to have relations with their father to be able to rebuild the world. Their intention was honorable. Tzadikim Yelchaba, who should Iskam L'Shem Aveiro? He whoever had not honorable intention, on him we say Poshim Yikashlam Bal. Ask the Gemara, V'dilma hu nami L'Shem Mitzvah Chavin, maybe he also had proper intentions. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol HaPasuk Hazeh Al Shem Aveiro Nemar. The pasuk that speaks about Loit, where it says V'yisi Loit is Enof, when Loit separated himself from Avram, the whole pasuk is coming to teach us that Loit was a Baal Aveira. And as the Mashal explains, because what does the pasuk have to tell us for Yisrael Loit Aseinov? Loit looked. What's the point? To teach us, just like here it says for Yisrael Loit, it says by Eshes Paitifar, who wanted to do an immoral act with Yosef, but Eshes Adonov Aseinel. He said, Ki Yishar Be'enai. Again, something immoral by Shechem. It says by Loit, it's called Kika Yadein. Kibad Isha Zoyna at Kika Lechem. It says by Loit, Kikula Mashka. Elcha Akri Mahavai. Nice, a person says, I go after my, people I have improper relationships. Nice, then Lachma Imamai, Samri Upishti Shamni Vishkoy. Says the Gemara, Menis Onis. Loit was an Onis. His daughters made him drunk. Says the Gemara, why by the vav, in the word bekuma, by the bechira, does it say a dat? Loima, when he had relations, he wasn't aware what he was doing because he was drunk. In the morning, he recognized what he had done. Says the Gemara, I have a little mevid. What do you want from him? It's already after the act. Says the Maida have a hava. Answers the Gemara, Mafkamina, Tlafanya Khina, Laboyla Mishtachamra. He should not have drunk wine the next night again, being concerned that this would happen. And because he drank wine again, that's why he's considered a posheya. However, I saw that the Paiskim say, based on this Gemara, that a person who became intoxicated is considered an oinus. And we know that the halach is, if one misses a tefillah, there's a difference in halacha if he was an oinus. The day the halach is, he can make up the tefillah. And if he wasn't oinus, he doesn't make it up. our Gemara who calls Loit, who was drunk, an oinus. From here we see that he is considered an oinus and is allowed to make up the next tefillah. Darash Rava, Maidik Siv, Och Nifsha, Mikarius Ois, a brother, a rebellious brother from a strong city, Umidonim Kivriach Armin. Ach Nifsha Mikarius Ois, says the Gemara, refers to Zeloit, Shapirish Me Avram. Nifsha, he rebelled, he left Avram. Umidonim Kivriach Arma, Shatil Midonim Kivriach Armin. He caused discord. How do you cause discord? Because the descendants of Loit are Ammon and Moav, who the Torah says, "Layavoi Ammoni u'me'avi b'kal Hashem." So therefore, this separation caused this terrible thing. Darish Rav v'Tamer of Yitzchak, Ma'idik Siv, L'Savi Yevakish Nifred b'chol Tishali Yizgala. L'Savi Yevakish Nifred. Somebody keeps himself apart. Zaloit separated himself from Avram. B'chol Tishi Yizgala. He's exposed in bodies of wisdom. His shame is exposed. The Tanan, Amani Me'av Mesurim V'Surin Asoilim. We may not intermarry with the Me'avim. And this is something that the Torah says. And every time we learn this din, we remember the terrible fate, the terrible Aveira that Noah did because he got drunk. So there's a fascinating Medrash that the Etz Yosef quotes. The Medrash says that every Shabbos they would read the Parsha of Loit. Why this Parsha did they choose to read every week? So the Medrash, so the Mefarshim explain, because there was a problem that people were drinking too much alcoholic beverages on Shabbos. So they had to come up with a way of preventing people from drinking. So what they did was that they made people, they read this parasha, and from this parasha we see the terrible thing what happens if a person gets intoxicated. He can, chas v'shalom, end up having an incestual relation with his daughter, and that would, that prevented them, that stopped this problem that they had with people drinking. The Mashal says, we know that the halacha, the pasuk just quoted, Lo yova amoni u'me'avi b'kal Hashem. The halacha is amoni v'loy amoinis, me'avi v'loy me'avis. There's a difference between the men and the women. Says the Mashal, why is there a difference between the men and the women? So he explains, Amr Amoyev descended from Loit and his daughters. The daughters who acted properly, so their daughters will be allowed into Kal Hashem, into Klal Yisrael. The father, Loit, who acted improperly, the sons will not be allowed into Kal Hashem. Omer Ula, Tama Zinsa Zimri Zina. Tama had relations with her father-in-law Yehuda, and Zimri, we know, had an Amara relationship with Cosby Batzor. Tama Zinsa Yotzman and Malachim v'Neviim. Her descendants were Shevet Yehuda, David HaMelech. Zimri Zayna Nafla Olav Kamer Vavis Mishraal. Because of Zimri's Aveira, 24,000 Jews died. So Farshim, the Utmaral explains, Tamar's goal was to become close to Yehuda, to become close to Klal Yisrael. And therefore her reward was that her, the king of Klal Yisrael, David HaMelech, was her descendant. Zimri, who wanted to become close to Cosby Basor, to the non-Jewish woman, his punishment was that other people of Klal Yisrael followed his act, and ultimately, unfortunately, 24,000 Jews died. Amar Rav Nechem v'Yitzchak, G'day la'aveiro l'shma, mitzvah shloi l'shma. If a person does an aveiro with the proper intention, it's even greater than doing a mitzvah with the wrong intention. As the Gemara, how can we say that? From Rav Yudam Rav, Loi Lom Yasuk Adam Atayra Mitzvahs. I feel Shloi Lishma. Shemitah Shloi Lishma Ba Lishma. Says the Gemara, Ela Eima Kemitzvah Shloi Lishma. An Aveiru that's done with the proper intent is equal to mitzvah that's done with the wrong intent. As the Gemara, here was saying that Shemitah Shloi Lishma, it, what do you call it, is acceptable. I asked the Gemara, we learned that a person should never do an a mitzvah shaloi lishma, and if somebody does a mitzvah shaloi lishma, noich loy shaloi nivra. So Tosfos answers, there was talking about somebody who uses Torah to harm people. That should never be done. Where do we see this? The Ksiv. Tavarach Menashim Yael. Eishes Cheva Akeinim Menashim Yael Tavarach. Sisroi, who was the head of the army of Canaan, was fleeing. Yael invited him into her tent, had relations with him, and then ultimately murdered him. Man Noshim Yael, who was she being compared to? To Sara Rivka Rachav Aleya. And she's being considered on the same level. Mefarshim say from here we see that even though Leah was older than Rachel, whenever we mention the Imahos, we mention Sara Rivka Rachel Valeah, we mention Rachel before Leah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sheva Bilos Bal Isa Rasha Baisa Shah. He had relations with her 7 times. Shneva Bein Ragla Kara Nafal. And it says the same word 7 times. V'akamasan mebila delay. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that what she did was acceptable? She had hana. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol tavasin sharishoyim en al roayet tzaddikim. Tzaddikim never enjoy having relations with rishoyim. Shnei shamel chamin tabim Yaakov mitoved ra. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Lavan, don't speak with Yaakov, not bad nor good. Says the Rabbi Shlomo Shat Raw, I can understand why she shouldn't speak bad, but Toiv Amayloi, why shouldn't he speak good? Alash Mamino, Toiv Arohi, Toivas Arohi. Even what he considers good is for a tzaddik bad. Shmamino, from here we see that an Avera Lishma is considered acceptable. Gufa, Amar Yudah Marav, Loilam Yasek Odom, Mitarim Mitzvahs, Afil Shloy Lishma, a person should always learn Afil Shloy Mishla, Shmitar Shloy Lishma, Ba Lishma. From Shloy Lishma, a person could get to Lishma. And the proof that even something done Shloy Lishma has value, Shmitzcha Membeis Kabonis, Shikr Balak Arosha. Balak brought 42 Kabonis, because he brought Kabonis at 3 different spots, and in each spot he had 7 mizbeches, and each mizbech he brought a parva ayil equals 42. And because of that, Zoch of Yotzman Rus was his descendant. From Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, Rus pas benoisha egloin melch mayiv haisa, which ultimately led to the birth of David HaMelech. So the Mefarshim obviously say, Al Gemara is obviously saying, that certainly learning Torah Lishma is preferable to learning Torah Shlo Lishma. So I saw the Mefarshim give us 2 etzes, 2 pieces of advice how somebody could come to learn Torah Lishma. The Chasam Sofer says that one could come to learn Torah Lishma by learning L'Shem Halacha, that his learning should be in the intent to be Mekayim, to fulfill his learning. The Gagli Tal says that the way a person could come to learn Torah Lishma is if he enjoys his learning. If he learns Torah with a Geshmak, that's how he could come to Torah Lishma. Mefarshim also go on to say, Shematoich Shaloi Lishma, Ba Lishma, that what the Gemara really means to say is that even if a person is already Baruch Hashem on the Madrega, on the level that he's learning Torah Lishma, he should always view his learning as if it was Shaloi Lishma, and I still have to learn better to get to the Madrega of Lishma. Another pshat that I saw is that sometimes a person, unfortunately, his own learning is Shaloi Lishma. But somebody who's listening to his learning, somebody who's watching his learning, will learn Lishma. Shemetaych l'shaloi Lishma. I maybe learned Shaloi Lishma, but that could have influence that somebody else will learn Torah Lishma. Another pshat that I saw, Shemetaych Shaloi Lishma, Ba Lishma, is that, let's say, yes, unfortunately, this person learned Torah Shaloi Lishma. But it's inevitable that even when somebody's learning Torah Shaloi Lishma, that it won't seep in a little Torah Lishma. Shemetaych Shaloi Lishma. If you learn Torah Shaloi Lishma, Ba Lishma, some Lishma will come in.
Amram Chiba Abba Amram Yoichan. Menayin Shalayin Akash Baruch Mekapeach Afil Eschas Sichino. Even speaking nicely, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes in consideration for reward. Deal Bechira decrease the Mayav. The older daughter, who had relations with her father, with Light, used the nicer language called the Mayav. Amar Rechmana, Atotzes Mayav Vatizgaba Mechama. Don't harass them. Mechama Deloy, Yinalarav Mechama, Avtsuri Tsarinen. Because she called him a not nice name. Mayav. Always you, it should be obvious that this was a descendant of a father. Avil Tsir the Kris Ben Ami, the younger daughter who used the word Ben Ami, which is nicer, Omala Matizgar, Atutsur Matizgabam, not only may we not hold battle with them, Afila Tatsurin and Klal, we're not allowed to even have a lot of harass them because they. And that's a schar for their mother, great-great-grandmother rather, that spoke in a nicer way by saying amoin, not saying moyav.